nice to have you here. This week, this time next week, we will be somewhere in Livingston, in Zambia, the mission team. In the previous church service, I know there were one or two people who were going, and in just this one, I know there's also one or two people that can raise their hands that will be going with us. We're going to do a lot of traveling, and I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to join Pastor Westmore's church in Zambia next week. This time, we will be ministering there and just having a good time with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm really looking forward to meet them and to really build a relationship and get to know them better. We'll also go to Rundu and to Katima Malilu, where we'll also spend some time. And we are really open to what the Lord wants to do with these missions. As I said, we're gonna build on a relationship that we already have, but we are also really open for new relationships, new things that the Lord wants to do through us. So I'm really excited, and I know Prisca is here, and we can already say about so many testimonies, so many things that are already happening before we are even leaving, and so many things falling into place, and really God really providing for us. So that makes me so excited for the next things to come. And I really want to encourage you guys, those of you who are not going with us, you can be with us in the spirit, okay? You can pray for us, and really we want to ask you guys to pray and intercede for us, and just to keep us safe, and that we can really be obedient to where the Holy Spirit leads us and what He wants to do in and through us. So this morning, I want to start off by asking a question again. And I want to ask you, what is the Lord doing in your life right now? What is God busy with in your life? Okay, I believe we're not cast in stone. We're not like cement blocks that we stand and we are put there at a certain place and then we just stay there forever. Okay, we are something that we move and we grow, and sometimes we go forward and sometimes we go a little bit backwards. Thank you, Arie. Of course, Leanne isn't here. Someone else. Usually Anne is I don't want to say the tea lady, but she's always the one that provides for me, and that's really a blessing. No one in the Afrikaans church service did that, so thanks, Wari, you're really a son. But this is something serious, so I really want to hold it before us this morning. What is the Lord doing in your life? Are you yielding to that? Are you sure what He's doing? Are you part of that process? You know, is God just overruling you in a sense? I don't think so. Okay, we've got a free will, we can make decisions, we can say yes and no. So I'm going to, maybe it's something you can take home a little bit and just think about it. What is He busy doing in your life? Because I can almost promise you that the Holy Spirit will speak to you about something. Okay, I really want to focus, and I really know I need to focus on the missions. We're leaving on Friday, and in a sense it's not just a joke, you know, we're just not getting all in a bus and we're driving as a happy bunch and see what's going to happen. I know missions are some place where we really have to focus, and me and Yaku as the leaders, we really want to be obedient. We don't want to miss something. We don't want to also drive into a trap or something, you know. I heard so many stories about Reinhard Bonke, and then he's driving and then just says to his car driver, just stop here right now. Okay, and then he stops and he prays and intercedes, and then 2 minutes later there's a massive accident down the road or something, and he was sensitive to that. So we also need to be sensitive to what the Lord is doing in our lives. And I want to talk a little bit and share a little bit on sanctification this morning. And I can promise you that is something that the Holy Spirit wants to work in our lives with every day. Okay? Because in the previous church service, it was so nice. The oldest lady in the church, she said the loudest. Or she answered the loudest when I said, or her amen was the loudest, when I said it's a process that's never finished in this life. None of us can stand up and say, I'm totally free of sin. I'm totally like Jesus Christ. I'm totally perfect. You know, none of us can say that. It's something that continues throughout our Christian lives. Okay, and it's something, the moment we get born again and spirit-filled and we start to grow, this is a process that starts. You know, it's something that we want to leave certain things behind and we want to grow in new things. So first we hear the call of the gospel and we respond, or we don't. Sometimes some of us, I remember my wife has testified a few times, she said she know there were certain times when the Lord had an appointment with her, okay? And she kind of got her out of that, you know? And we can do that. We know sometimes something needs to happen and then you can make a deliberate decision to take you on a different route, okay? But that's the awesome thing of a loving Father. He will always give us a second chance and a third. Many of us, we get many chances, and then eventually we get to a place where we get born again, and there God imparts new life to us. We are justified. Now that's something that's important to understand. When God justifies us, okay, that is something that is perfect. That is something that's a complete right standing. Okay, when one person isn't more justified than another, okay, the blood of Christ, the fact that Jesus died on the cross, you know, we are justified. Okay, that means we get a thumbs up. We are all the same in that place. But in terms of sanctification, we aren't all at the same place. Because you can't draw a graph and it says you are just going up all the time. Hopefully it does. But sometimes we go up and then it flattens a little bit. Hopefully it doesn't go back or anything like that. But I know, I know Christians and people that I've been with in the last 10 or more years in church that has grown a lot. And then sometimes you see that guy a year or two later, and you see, what happened now? You see what happened on this graph of this person's life in terms of sanctification. Did he now take a massive step back? What happened? Did he get offended? Did he make bad decisions? What happened there? After justification, there's also adoption, you know, where we become part of a family, where we become part of a household of faith, a place where we belong, okay? Now, sanctification is a progressive work from God, okay? But it's something that God does, but it's something that we have a role to play in as well, okay? It's not just something where God puts us on autopilot and he says, okay, you're now a believer, you're born again Christian, I've adopted you, Romans 8, you're part of the family now you go, you're just going to grow. No, it's something where you need to make decisions in, and I'll get to that a little bit later. It's something where we cooperate. It's something where we also have to play a part in. First scripture I want to read to you, and I've got quite a lot here today, but fortunately we don't have to sit down, so I can just preach the maximum time. The youth isn't here as well, so they don't have to leave at 11:45, so I'm just going to preach till the time is finished. I hope it's before 1. Is that okay with you? The first scripture I've got is from 1 John 3 verse 9. And it says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he is born of God. And you should also, what you should hear is, no one should keep on sinning. Because if you don't read it correctly, you can go and study a few translations at home, and that will help you a little bit. But you know, as a born-again Christian, you can cross that line where you sin, okay? Who of you follow Jesus? Most of you, that's good. Who of you have sinned since you follow Jesus? Okay, you see what we talk about, okay? But the thing is, when that resurrection power comes, when Colossians 3 verse 10, 9 and 10, when we are made a new person, you feel different about sin. Many of you will raise your hands maybe. I remember when I was a student at Stellenbosch University, I know many guys lived to sin. They couldn't wait till Friday evening came, and then they took their whole budget and drank as much as they could. You know, is it just me that saw stuff like that? Yes, many people, they can't wait till the next cigarette or the next drink or the next whatever it might be. If you're addicted to a lot of rubbish in life, hopefully not people like you sitting here. Hopefully you are all perfectly sanctified in that sense. But you see, when you get out of that place of being caught up in a habit of sin, okay, and you get born again, you really start to feel different about sin in your life. The thing is, when you previously sinned, okay, you was like, yeah, well, it's maybe not the right thing to do, maybe my dad will be cross with me, or maybe I had a headache of drinking too much or whatever. But now as a born again Christian, it's different, eh? It's different. You really feel bad about yourself. You really feel convicted that you've missed the mark. Okay, now we know there's grace for that. That's why it's beautiful that once you sinned and God the Father doesn't just come and he kicks you out of the kingdom. Okay, otherwise all of us, I raised my hand as well, okay, wouldn't have been here this morning, because we sinned, okay, after we became really Christians. But the thing is that is important, let's just use an example. If you've sinned 50 times a day when you were in the world, yeah, then I hope it came down to 20 and to 15 and to 10 and to 8 and to 9, to really to a place, I mean, when you came out of church after you worship, or after you read scripture, or after you had a good prayer session or word intercession, do you feel like going to sin? You don't. I don't feel like that. Okay, it's because the Spirit is alive in us. It's not something where we just want to go and, you know, make whatever nonsense or sin in that sense. Okay, there's something working in us that is really holding us back. But as I said, we can, in a sense, we can overrule that, and we can still miss the mark. To be dead to the ruling power of sin means that we as Christians, by virtue of the power of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection life of Christ working within us, have power to overcome the temptation and enticement of sin. What we also can do is, say I have got like a really bad temper, you know, and then I try not to lose my temper every time at work or at home or with my kids or with the sheep or whatever it might be, okay? But if I go on like that for 10 or 20 years, then you shouldn't go and say, yeah, well, I guess I'm just born with a bad temper and I'll be always like that and you guys just must live with it. We can never do that, because that goes against the truth of Scripture. It goes to a place where you say, well, the Holy Spirit can't change me. So sometimes I've heard people in the natural, or maybe people that don't really follow Christ, they will say stuff like, yeah, but I'm like this. You just live with it. Okay? Have you heard stuff like that? And that is sad. It's because then you say, God can't change me. Jesus died for nothing, in a sense. Okay, so we must always say, sin is defeated, and we now live in Jesus Christ. We are new. There's that place where you can really overcome. Romans 6, verse 11 and 14. There it already is. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Okay, dead to sin. That means that shouldn't be part of our lives. We are in Jesus Christ. We are alive. We are new. Okay, and Romans 6, verse 14. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, it's important when we say sin should not have any dominion over you. You can make decisions where you can get bound by sin again. And I've seen many born-again Christians struggle with stuff. You know, it's where Scripture talks about the narrow road and the broad one. Okay, if you start to live in the world again, you can get caught up in stuff that can bound you, that can put shackles around you. And that's where there's a place for deliverance and healing and all those stuff again. Okay, but Scripture says we are dead to sin. We don't want to live in that place anymore. We want to be alive with Christ. Also, I want to read Romans 6, verse 19. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Okay? So where you previously just became more and more worse, in a sense, more lawlessness. Okay, now Paul says here in Romans, listen, guys, grow progressively. Grow in righteousness, and that will help you to be sanctified. That will help you to leave these things behind. Those, let's call it, those sinful things you were carrying like a backpack. Okay, throw it out step by step. Get it out of your system. There's all the apostles. You can go and check it in the New Testament. James, Peter, Paul, everyone. This is not a doctrine or something built around one or two people. Okay. You can go and study in the New Testament, and you will see, as I said last week, when we talked about the Trinity, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all being God, okay? I said if you want to go and study and read more about that, go and read the Gospel of John. Who did it? There's one or two people. Thank you, Shelby, for listening. I believed you reaped the good fruits of obeying. But nevertheless, there's so many examples in Scripture. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 14. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 14, strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Now we must remember, as a church, this is really, I believe most of you know our vision. If you don't, go and look there at the back, and we say we want to reach the nations and generations, and we want to make disciples, and we want to raise leaders. Okay? Now it's important, if you want to grow as a disciple or as a leader, that you overcome these things. I'm not going to ask me or any leader in the church, we're not going to ask you to become a small group facilitator if you are very clearly still living a very sinful life. Then you still need to grow a little bit. And if you need to become a ministry leader or an elder or a zone coach or whatever it might be, okay, we don't say you need to be perfect, okay, but it's important that we don't see you drunk in the streets every weekend. That's not going to work. Okay, so it's important for us as a vision, as a church, that we also say to ourselves, listen, this is something, not just God in the Word and another sermon. God, I promise you, I'm sure of it, God is busy with each one of us, working us through stuff, where we can leave stuff behind to be more sanctified, to be more, become more like Jesus Christ. James 1 verse 22 says, but be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Okay, we need to take this seriously. Peter says in 1 Peter 1 verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Okay. That means I can read a lot of scriptures to you this morning where we can show and see from scripture in the New Testament, listen guys, God wants us to be holy because he's holy. We are his children. You want your children to be the same like the Father. In fact, you want them to be, I want my kids to be grow more than myself. I want them to get to salvation at the earlier place in their life. But here, the Father says he's holy, so we should be holy as well. We can't have a holy God and we just go sinning left, right, and center. Is that the Holy Spirit, Irene? Do you have an appointment? Okay. I'm not going to go too much into it, but we can. There's a really nice place, and I can joke and say with all of us that has hurts and broke an arm and fell out of a tree or got hurt somewhere along the line. We can see in Philippians 3 verse 20 to 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that's now here on the earth, to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to be subject to all things himself. You know, that we can know when Jesus Christ come back, okay, we will receive something new. We will become perfect, okay? Those who are believers. We can know all those, die enas en die seerplekke, all the brokenness and the nose that is skew and the this and the that, everything people complain about, we are going to be in God's image and it's going to be beautiful. Now, sanctification isn't something that we can say it's just happening to a part of me. Okay, we are body, soul, and spirit. Amen? So here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, we read, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, this is something that needs to happen in our spirit man. It's something there needs to be progression in our spiritual man, but it's also in our emotions, in every part of our body. You know, you shouldn't, when a car drives in front of you, show them a bad sign or something, do something in the flesh. Paul is talking here specifically and say, sanctify you completely. That means in your way of thinking, your emotions, your spirit, every area of your life, he wants us to progress and to grow. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. That's a beautiful scripture. That's a scripture I really love. That means we need to work out this thing, but we also need to sense, listen, God is not just a friend there. Remember, Jesus is the friend of sinners. Jesus isn't the friend of sin. That's something to take note of. Some guys get it really wrong with the grace teaching today that is really not biblical. But it's important. I can almost stop there where he says, listen, this is enough. God is holy, so we need to be holy. We need to grow in this. And I really believe for us, all of us are disciples still. All of us are being are developing as leaders. All of us are growing. And I mean, I believe all of us want to go forward. And I know this is something the Lord is working with. So there's a place where God is doing something in your life, and there's a place where you also have a say. Now, if you make certain bad decisions, it's going to hamper your growth. If you go and sit, and hopefully it's not a place like ours, but if you sit and you never sit under the Word, if you never sit under the good teaching of the Word, then you're not going to grow. If you listen to bad teaching, if you go, there's many sects and false churches and people that doesn't really preach a proper truth, then you're not going to grow a lot in sanctification. If you lack good Christian fellowship, that's why it's so important for us to come together in small groups, or like last week when we come together, all the small groups together, there's a place to listen to the Word together. There's a place for ministry, a place for speaking into each other's lives. That's if you just stand like this and you are very isolated, you will see it's not going to help you a lot. We all need friends. We all need a place where we can send an SMS to a friend or make a phone call or get together in small groups and say, listen, friend, pray for me. Listen, lay hands on me. Listen, intercede for me, or I need to talk with someone. Because the opposite is sometimes, you know, we sin and we feel so convicted. We feel so bad about ourselves, and now you almost want to punish yourself for like a day or two, and you almost want to fast because just to get a sin out of you. But there is grace for that. There is grace for that. But then we obviously, then to neglect the Word of God, I mean, I can preach it here, but from today till next Sunday is a long time. You need to study it yourself. You need to read Scripture. You need to eat it. And I mean, what I've seen here, what the Holy Spirit shows me, you will see it as well. You need to take it in and make it yourselves, and you need to obey it. Lastly, if you neglect prayer, if you don't really pray, and always when you're in your crisis, you just saying that, please God help me, or please protect me, or something. Some of us, our prayer lives look like that, or Lord, I've got a crisis, please provide for me. I don't say the Father won't listen to you, but that's not a proper prayer life. If you don't spend time in prayer, you know, and that's that place, as I said, when you walk out of church, when you walk out of intercession, when you walk out of small group or Bible school, and you are filled, and you feel strong, then you don't feel like just sinning and being reckless in that sense. It fed you. So if you don't spend proper time in prayer, you're probably not going to really hear God's voice. You're not going to learn to discern it. That's why I said, I promise you, God is either working with each one of you, and you will know what it is, and you will yield to that, or you are not probably sure what's happening right now because your life is so busy and so full of stuff and so many voices ministering to you. But it's important to sit down and to listen, to hear what the Lord is saying to you. So we can say that sanctification is primarily a role that God is playing. When we get born again, like justification, you've got nothing to do with that except to say yes. That's something that God does very specifically, and it's all about Him, what He does in our lives. You can't save yourself. We can't. But in sanctification, there's a big place where we can play a role, where we make decisions as well. Paul's praying here in Thessalonians 5, verse 23, and he say, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. That means there's a place where God is doing a work in us, where He's busy doing something, where He is sanctifying us. Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. God wants to build us up. God doesn't want to break us down or leave us behind or scatter seeds and hopefully something will grow. God is doing a good work in us, and we can pray for each other in that, and we can say yes in our own lives to the working of that. The Father and the Son is playing a role in that process. Hebrews 13 verse 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Go and write it out. Print it out. Put it at your wall. And just know you are not something made and is standing there like a rock or a tree or something that is not alive. The Lord is working. He wants to do that good work in our lives. The role of God and the Son, Jesus Christ, in sanctification is first that He earned our sanctification for us. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. And because of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus Christ plays a massive role in our growth, in our sanctification. We get born again, we get saved, and then He sanctifies us. Then the Holy Spirit, you will all know probably what scripture I'm going to use next. How do you know the Holy Spirit is working in someone? Because you can see the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, that beautiful verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there are no law. So the Holy Spirit is playing a massive role in our lives as well in terms of our sanctification. I love when you watch a movie like Faith Like Potatoes and you see Angus Buchan there as a young man being rude, having a short temper, drinking too much. You can go ask many born-again believers who have got, who will share their testimonies, and you will see they were rough diamonds. And then you see cowboys can cry later on as the Holy Spirit is working and those beautiful fruits are developing. Then you see kindness and you see love and you see gentleness and self-control. It's not something that has happened just the moment you get born again. Yes, we get delivered of many stuff, but it's something that is progressively in work in us. And I believe that is making us beautiful. That is making us beautiful to God the Father, because our lives should bring glory to Him. But it's also that, like we're in Corinthians, that speaking about that sweet fragrance, that when someone walk in here, they should see. We aren't like having fights and this and that, because the fruits of the Spirit, our lives should show it. Yeah, but you know what I mean. I believe the Holy Spirit will interpret there. Galatians 5 verse 16 also says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That is why when you are in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will warn you. He will show you, and many times you will feel that war. Let's say, just use the example, you were an alcoholic. I was an alcoholic. I wasn't an alcoholic, but just say for example's sake, I had many other sins. But this is alcohol, and now you feel so tempted, should I drink that brandy? Shouldn't I? And then you feel this battle inside. You feel something inside is saying very clearly to you, leave it for now. You don't yet have the self-control to handle it. You will feel it. It's not like just going there, drinking it, and you feel nothing inside. Then the Holy Spirit is so dead, He's not working in you. We will know. Sometimes you feel like walking to someone and beating that person up. We all feel like that sometimes. But then the Holy Spirit will help you to cool down and to get self-control over yourself and to say, listen, shouldn't I rather turn my cheek, or shouldn't I rather intercede for this person? That person has got such off doctrine or false doctrine, or it's hurting the church. Then you want to, you know, that person. But then it's the Holy Spirit inside that say, rather pray for that person's salvation. Rather pray for that person to come to the Lord. The role we play in sanctification is both a passive one, in which we depend on God to sanctify us, and an active one, in which we strive to obey God and take steps that will increase our sanctification. And that's where, if you're planted in a healthy church, you're part of small group, you get a place where you grow in the Word, you take steps that will enable you to grow in sanctification, then you're pleasing the Lord. But you need to take that. You need to put those steps in place. You need to sometimes say to yourself, I'm not going to spend time with my laptop alone, or with my laptop when I'm alone. Or you will know where your weaknesses are, where your blind spots is, where those things are that you really need to work in. And then you can't just always blame the devil. You need to put things in place and say, Lord, I'm going to not read these types of books or watch those type of movies. It's bad for me. we need to do those things. Romans 8 verse 13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. You will live. So the important thing is, who is doing that? It says you. You should do it. Yes, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit. He leads us into holiness. That's part of His job description. He helps us to grow into that. But He's not, as I said, He's not going to put you on autopilot and just launch you like a rocket and there you go. You need to take part. You also need to take decisions. All of us, we need to do that. That is the active role we need to play. Then I think there's a place where we can sometimes kind of do like blame shifting, where we're almost going to say, but it's just God's job. You know, if you just read some scriptures in the Word, then you will always get a skew picture of what Scripture represents or who God is. You need to read all of it. So you can't just say, okay, I'm now a new Christian, or I'm a Christian for 5 or for 10 or 20 years and I'm growing, but you know, God must do this thing. Now you play a role in that. You make certain decisions. And I mean, as we are going to leave here, let's say we will leave at 12 o'clock or before that, I guess, you can decide what you're going to do the rest of the day. You can go sleep or eat or watch a movie or smoke or drink or whatever. You can do it. It's a fact. We all know that. But you need to make sure the things you are doing, that it's good for your spirit, that it's good for your flesh. Remember, sanctification, as I said, doesn't just happen there in the spiritual spooky sometime place. It's happening in our bodies as well. If you know something is bad for you, I mean, if let's use it, if I've got a chocolate in my hand, I mean, it's not sin to eat a chocolate. It's not bad. It's not that bad. Okay? But to eat 10 or 20 chocolates, or if that's Coca-Cola and you drink one glass, you will not die. It's not sin. But drink now 2 liters of Coke, it's bad for you. Lots of sugar, lots of caffeine. You're going to be like an energizing bunny. So it's important to ask the Lord. And many times Christians will argue about these things, especially young people. Now, what is okay to do before we get married? Holding hands, kissing, this or that. What is technically? And if you really want to, you can kind of wiggle you out of the truth. Because, I mean, just something that I feel really strong about is living together when you're not married. Guy and girl that's in love or whatever. Okay? There's not a scripture that says that specifically is sin. But I can tell you, you're going to be tempted to sin. If you are there living together and I drive past your house at 6 a.m. in the morning and the guy and the girl's car is standing there, I'm assuming you're sleeping together. That's how it is. You've got a testimony as well. Okay? Don't mess it up. It's not worth it. So many times, I don't think there isn't a scripture that says, don't smoke, it's wrong for you. There isn't. But your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Why do you want to breathe in smoke and fumigate the place? Okay? You're not in the temple of Solomon or one of those places. You wouldn't walk in there with a thing and scratch the walls and break things in the physical temple. So why do you want to do it to your body? That's why it's important to live a good life, to exercise, to eat healthy. You can't mess up your body and try and be very spiritual in that sense. Are you hearing me this morning? One more point, as I said, in terms of sanctification, in the New Testament, it's usually a corporate process. So we're on these little ships that sail there on the ocean, everyone by itself, and hopefully every ship will get to its destiny and in the process being sanctified. It's something that happens here between us, where we rub shoulders. Afrikaans jongens, eister slap eister. Sometimes you get offended with someone in church, even with me, or I with you, or whatever. There's a place where we grow, where we work out things. It's important to know that if you can't sit at home and be very holy. Don't take this for doctrine now, but I know sometimes parents homeschool their kids. Now, if you live in a farm in Namibia, 300 or 400 kilometers from the closest school, I would say it's not wrong. But hear me now. Don't, as I said, hear me correctly now. It's not a right wrong thing in that sense. But if I'm living here in Windhoek with many good schools around me and I want to homeschool my kids because I'm worried that they will get polluted by the world, then I'm thinking wrongly. Because we will always be part of the world. You can't, because now you keep that little child in the nest till he or she is 15, and now he gets out. Now you've got a problem. Because they've never got to see what life is like. Now someone offer him or her a drink, and you've got a problem. No, it doesn't have to be like that, but you hear what we say. We can't live in this holy huddle, in isolation. That is why we are going on missions. That is why we're inviting people to church. Jesus is the friend of sinners. If a sinner walks in there, we greet that person, we love that person. We don't say, yes, I like your sin, but we love that person because that person needs to come to Christ. We all had to sometime. None of us were born Christians, and we were just always this little perfect little babies or something. So it happens in community. It happens in a family. And last year we spoke a lot about the closed circle, and we said it's church is like a closed circle in a sense, but there's open doors. Okay, it's a place where new people must come in, but inside this house there's also rules. Go and read a little bit about church discipline, and you'll see my hand is not too hard on you guys, but it's because you are good sheep. Hebrews 10 verse 24 to 25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We see there's a beautiful picture about family, about people interacting, about not like everyone is just on our own. It's like, Johnny, come to church, or Gustav, I will see you there, or Prisca, or whoever. We want to stir each other up and say, but I know you don't have a lot of time, but come to intercession. Why do we want just a lot of people there? No, it's good for you. It's biblical. Then also, if you are here this morning and you think, well, it all sounds really good, and I mean, you can go have that whole argument about Jesus was just a good teacher and a very moral person, you know, and missing it in that sense. But if you want to see, now, what can I get out of the deal? What is my motivation for growing in sanctification? I mean, I'm already saved. I guess I will be in heaven one day. But Jesus says something important here. He says in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if you truly love Jesus Christ, if you keep your eyes on the Lord, if you are walking behind him or after him, and you truly say, I love you, Jesus, then you want to obey his word. Then you want to grow in sanctification. Because, I mean, we don't have to have a discussion whether sin is right or wrong. We know we all fall short of the glory. We all know we missed the mark. Yes, there's grace for that. But don't stay a baby forever as a Christian. We need to progress. Sanctification affects the whole person. Colossians 3 verse 9 and 10. One of my 150 favorite scriptures. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. We are a total new person. It's something important to understand that when the Lord comes and he makes us new, he doesn't put the new next to the old. He takes the old away, and he puts the new person there. He totally regenerates us. And then we need to grow. As I said, then you are justified. You are perfectly 100% justified. If you get in front of hierdie groot trokkie in Windhoek and you're dead, you're fine, you're going to the Lord. But you can grow in justification. It's something we cannot say in this world or in this lifetime, I've got it, I've done it, I'm perfect, I'm holy, I never missed the mark. I want to start to ending off here this morning. Last scripture that I already read, but it's such a powerful scripture, and it's almost just summing up the message that I want to share with us this morning. And remember, we don't preach in church just to preach a nice message and then we go home and just have a nice time. Let the Holy Spirit be the after preacher. Ask the Lord, Lord, where can I grow? What steps can I take to grow in sanctification? If you heard this morning, maybe you read a half an hour scripture per day, but you only pray 2 minutes, then you need to know, that thing is standing like this. Okay, it needs to balance out. If you read a lot of scripture, you do a lot of praying, but you're not part of the community of the church or the family, then you know, I need to work on that maybe. Maybe we need to pray with you this morning because there's a cycle of sin or something in your life that just can't break. Then there's leadership for that, where we can stand in for someone. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Since we have these promises, beloved, Paul talking about to the Christians, believers, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord, fear of God. So it's really important that we just know that all this defilement, everything that is bad for us, that we get it out of our systems. It's almost when you go and exercise and you run, you sweat, eh? But it's good for you. Some dirty things are getting out of your system. Sometimes we need to cut all the coke or the too much chocolates or the this or that, okay? Too much of a good thing is also not good for you. So I want to encourage us, church, beloved, we are all believers here, that we grow in this, that we keep our eyes on the Lord and we say, I want to get this out of my system. I want to progress. I want to be in 6 months' time or 8 months' time. I want to be at a place where I can say or testify, I've overcome. Me, myself, no. With the Lord Jesus Christ, with the working of the Holy Spirit, that we have left certain things behind. Amen. Can we just all close our eyes for 1 minute, please?
All right, church, I just want us to stand as our eyes are closed.